by listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. The service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us. We're opening this service with a quartet singing for us, O Precious Bible.
O Precious Bible, burning words from heaven, we'll ever cherish thee in our heart. Sweet is the counsel by thy pages given, on life's dark ocean our only chart. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. O precious volume, only in thy pages we read the duty of all our race. Only thy sunbeam shining through the ages reveal the wonders of saving grace. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. This book of heaven shall endure forever, and from its wisdom we'll never turn. Weighed in its balance, all the creeds that's ever are only stubble ere long to burn. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. Dear book of mercy, on thy sure foundation we build a dwelling place for the soul. Hearing and doing all thy revelation, it stands unshaken, the billows roll. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of presenting this gospel broadcast to this precious people today. Wherever our program is reaching, I know you are there. So may the precious Holy Spirit use us, use our broadcast, to make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. Now I know that you love them. I know you love everybody. And we know that Jesus tasted death for every man. So bless this broadcast as we endeavor to present thy word to the hearts of benefit of lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing with the male group singing for us, I could not walk without you holding my hand.
I thought number one, but surely
without you holding my hand. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty
subject for today's broadcast, Can Man Please God? And our text of Scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We realize that there are people in the world today who profess to be atheists and do not believe in God. But I think most people in the world believe in a God, if not the God. But of course, the true Christian believes in the true and the living God. Now, many people seek to please other people rather than to please God. And there is a place for you to seek to please some people as long as the right motive is back of it and it's not to try to flatter someone or to use your influence to get something from them if you want. So there is a place to endeavor to please people. I'd like to please my radio audience by preaching you the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why did God make the world to begin with? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we read in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. I wonder sometimes when I think about all those trillions of stars out there, and they don't even know how many galaxies there are. let alone how many stars there are. But I think about that and I wonder just how much pleasure did God get out of creating them. Yes, I believe God created the heavens and the earth, and I believe that he also created or formed man. For thus saith the Lord God that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth made it. He has established it, and he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited, and he did it for his own pleasure. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So we read in Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So we read in Isaiah 45 and 18. Can you imagine not only what pleasure God got out of creating the starry heavens, but he created the earth and everything in it. And when he created the earth, it was covered entirely with water, and also it was dark all the way around. One of the first things God made or created was light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And he also said, let the dry land appear, and it was so. Now, God, on the sixth day, for man, God had special plans for the earth that he created. The earth, I say, was covered with water, and it was dark all the way around, and God made the light and so forth, and he created then the animals and so forth. Then on the sixth day, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, all over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. So we read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Now God was very pleased with all that he created. Why did he create man? Man was different from everything else that he had created. God breathed into man a living soul, something that he did not do for any other creature, not even the stars of heaven. He created man a living soul, and man had the ability of fellowshipping God and God with him. And man is the only one that God made that could fellowship him and could have fellowship with him. They could love one another, and man could serve God. Therefore, my question today, can man please God? I believe that Adam and Eve pleased God there in the beautiful garden, and I believe God came down in the cool of the evening and fellowshipped with them. For how long, we really don't know. But man disobeyed God, and disobedience brought sin, and sin brought spiritual death. And it also brought literal death in the due course of time. Death brought the end of their fellowship with God and God's fellowship with them. For whenever they knowingly disobeyed God, which they did, they sinned and their soul died. Now, that soul did not cease to exist, but it was separated from God. It was separated from the source of life. Sin became so great in the earth that God determined to destroy every living thing off of the earth. But he saw a righteous man, and he would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. So God had Noah, who was the righteous man, Noah to build an ark for the saving of himself and his family. And I would say, I believe for anyone else who would believe Noah's message and obey God. After the flood, man became wicked again, and God determined to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. God hates sin. He does not hate the sinner. He loves the sinner. That's why he gave his son for them. But he does hate sin. And the Bible says he is angry with the sinner every day. God called a man to separate himself from the idol worshipers and go to another part of the world where he could start a new nation that he would bless and have for his own. And this man's name was Abram, or later known as Abraham. He was a man who had faith in God and sought to please God. Abraham became known as the friend of God. And God promised Abraham that through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Yet, we read in the scriptures how that God gave Abraham and Sarah a son, as he promised they would. Abraham was about 100 and Sarah was about 90. But after this son grew for several years, God asked Abraham, or told Abraham, he was to take him into a land he would show, and he would offer his son there where God showed him. And so God led Abraham into the land of Moriah, and he and his son went up on that mountain. And Abraham took servants with him, and Abraham said to the servants, "You stay here, and you keep the animals, and my son and I will go yonder, and we will come again." Yes, that's what Abraham said. Why did he say that when he was going to offer him on an altar? Because Abraham had so much faith that he believed that if he offered Isaac on that altar, God would raise him up from that death state. And so he said to his servants, "You stay here, and we will come again." And so through Isaac, the promise that God made Abraham was fulfilled to that extent. And then Isaac had a wife, and they had twins, and God chose Jacob. Esau was a profane man, but Jacob was a man who at first did things that were not right. But on his way to where his people lived, he stayed a night and had a dream where he saw a ladder reaching into heaven, the angels ascending and descending. And there Jacob made a promise to God that if God would bring him back safely into his land, he would pay him a tenth of all that he earned. And so Jacob went on his way, and he was gone for 20 years. And while he was there at his relative's house, he married two of their daughters, and he began to have a family. And he returned to the land of promise, the land of Canaan, and there they had a total of 12 sons and one daughter. And we come on down through the history of the Israelitish nation, and an angel appears to Mary, a virgin in Nazareth, telling her that she would be the mother of the Son of God. And the time came when Joseph and Mary traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be taxed. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And an angel appeared to the shepherds, telling them, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now the angel had told Joseph, while they were still at Nazareth, that Mary, his wife, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's the only way that anyone can please the Lord, is to be saved from sin. Sin does not please God. God is angry with the sinner every day. Yes, he loves the sinners. That's why he gave his son. But he hates sin. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, and we know his ministry was for 3.5 years, and he preached the gospel, he healed the sick, and he taught the people the truth and ministered to their needs, and finally giving his life on that old sinful cross, he gave up the ghost and was put in the Joseph's tomb. But thank God he didn't remain there. So sin displeases God. You cannot live in sin and please God. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. So we read in Psalm 7:11. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:8. We must live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In Isaiah 55:7, we read, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isaiah 55:7. You must depart a life of sin to please God. That is why Jesus came into the world. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to give himself a ransom for all, to redeem us from all iniquity, and to purify unto himself a separate people. He came to seek and to save the lost. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So we read in John 10:10. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." John 8:36. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So we read in Psalm 149. Abraham was not the only person that walked with God. In fact, every Christian is supposed to walk with God. Micah said, "The Lord has shown us what is good, and what doth the Lord require? Love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with thy God." And Jesus Christ made it possible for everyone to do so. Our responsibility is to choose him as our Lord and our Savior, and then do what he has taught us in his word. Father, We pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit bear witness to the word and to the words that we have spoken. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It'd be a pleasure if we could hear from you, letting us know that our broadcast is a blessing to you. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net, our email address. And our fax number, 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, or you can listen to one of the broadcasts that's passed if you have missed any or desire to hear one over, www.wayoftruth.org. Also, we invite you to be with us in our services, if at all possible. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6. And our midweek service begins at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being with us, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
The Savior came.